Hi, hello. My name is Ray Stein, and you are watching, or not watching, listening to the Paranormal Podcast. And today, in today's episode, we are going to be reading from the National Geographic's Guide to the World's Supernatural Places by Sarah Bartlett. Now, let's get to the music. First story we're going to be reading is Tower of London in England. Trapped in the earthly realm by unfinished business, several royal wraiths prowl this iconic landmark. There may be as many ghosts haunting the Tower of London as people who have lived or died there. Behind its somber battlements, a host of restless souls are reputed to infest its turrets and chambers. Constructed by William the Conqueror in 1078 or 1078, I guess, The tower claims to be the most haunted building in England. I suppose it lives up to that name then. Tears are said to stream down Lord Guildford Dudley's face as he haunts the Beauchamp Tower. Or Beauchamp, I guess, is how you pronounce it. Reliving his final moments before facing the executioner in 1555. The pale specter of his wife, Lady Jane Grey, kneels beside a wall on Tower Green, just as she did on the scaffold when facing her own execution moments after Dudley. One who refused to kneel was Margaret Pole, beheaded on May 27th, 1581. On the anniversary of her death, her screaming ghost is said to run across Tower Green. 72-year-old Margaret was executed in reprisal for her son, Cardinal Pole, who denounced Henry VIII's claim as supreme head of the Church of England, then escaped to France. Defiantly spitting at the executioner, Margaret ran across the green, where the axeman hacked her to death. Another victim of the axe was Anne Boleyn, Henry VIII's second wife. I think this is Henry the Fifth, maybe? Yeah. I think it's Henry the Fifth. Who was accused of witchcraft and adultery. Anne's orb of spiritual footprint, or spiritual footprint, is reputed to be as vibrant and mesmerizing as the young queen was in life. It wanders restlessly among the towers, forever hoping for redemption, as many souls accused of witchcraft would. Meanwhile, the phantom of melancholic Henry... Okay. This one's Henry V. Then this one's Henry VII. The one who married Anne Boleyn. I think. Meanwhile, the phantom of melancholic Henry V reportedly paces back and forth in the Wakefield Tower. Some believe he was murdered by the Duke of... Well, it's Henry VI. Let's just say that, because I don't know Roman numerals that well. Some believe he was murdered by the Duke of Gloucester just before midnight on May 21st, 1471. His unhappy ghost appears as the clock ticks toward 12. That's a tongue twister. Clock ticks toward 12. On the last stroke, it fades back into the stone walls and rests peacefully for another year. The oldest building in the Tower of London is the White Tower, where a group of schoolchildren witnessed an unexplained incident in the 1970s. The children were visiting the infamous Bloody Tower, when they heard bells chiming, glancing across the courtyard to the White Tower. One girl saw a woman with a white veil billowing around her shoulders at one of the slit windows. She appeared to be sobbing. The girl called the other children over, and as they looked, the woman waved as if to say goodbye, and then vanished. Knowing the tower's history, their teacher was convinced it was the ghost of Lady Jane Grey. Now, for a bit on the history of Bloody Tower. Because it said in parentheses after that C panel above. And the story in the panel is called Princes in the Tower. The dimly lit Bloody Tower is said to be haunted by two children dressed in white nightgowns who clutch each other in terror. They are known as the two princes, the son of Edward IV. When Edward died in April 1483, his 12-year-old son, Prince Edward, was destined to succeed him. Before the coronation could take place, however, Edward and his brother Richard were declared illegitimate by Parliament, and their uncle ascended the throne as Richard III. The boys were staying at the Tower of London in preparation for Edward's coronation, and were often seen playing in the grounds. 2 months later, they mysteriously vanished. Widely supposed murder on Richard III's instruction. And below the picture it says Sir John Everett Millais, 1878, painting of the two princes. Two skeletons discovered under a staircase in the tower in 1674 were thought to be their remains. They were reburied in Westminster Abbey. The next story is of Buckfastleigh Churchyard in Devon, England. And by the way, in the last segment, I mispronounced Westminster Abbey. I said Westminster. It's Westminster. It says that in the book. So my bad. Anyways, a ghostly red light emanates from a shadowy tomb in the abandoned English graveyard. The ivy-covered graves of Buckfastleigh Churchyard, home to the tomb of Richard Cabell. Gutted by fire in 1992, Buckfastleigh Church draws a congregation of crows day by day and owls by night. But it is the ivy-covered graveyard rather than the desolate ruins of the church that sends shivers up the spine of locals. A strange little building just off the path houses a tomb encased by heavy metal bars. Known locally as the Spulcher, it is the Cabell family tomb. A mysterious white slab covers the stone tomb as if to imprison its contents forever. Inside are the remains of Richard Cabell, a monstrously evil 17th century squire, reputed to have murdered his wife and sold his soul to the devil. In July 1677, Cabell passed away and was laid to rest in the Spulcher. That night, it is said, a ghostly pack of hounds raced across the moors and howled outside his tomb. Cabell's ghost then rose, left the sepulcher, and led the phantom hounds on a night-long hunt, snatching and tearing to pieces every living creature in their path. In an attempt to lay his soul to rest, the villagers set iron bars around the sepulchre and placed a slab on top of Cabell's grave. Some claim to have seen a red glow emanating through the bars, while others report demonic beasts circling the grave. According to legend, if you run around the tomb 7 times, and then stick your hand through the bars, either Squire Cabell or the devil will bite your fingers. And when to visit this lovely churchyard, come after nightfall to experience the menacing atmosphere of Cabell's tomb. The next story is called The Jamaica Inn, and that is in Cornwall, England. A stranger's phantom returns nightly to this historic smuggler's pub on a bleak Cornish moor. Set high on the bleak and treacherous Bodmin Moor, Jamaica Inn was both a coaching house and a meeting place for smugglers in the 18th century. The setting for Daphne du Maurier's famous novel of the same name. The inn has a reputation for supernatural sightings, especially of phantom smugglers and menacing spirits on the moors. There are many disturbing stories. One account concerns a roughly dressed foreign man who was drinking a tankard of ale at the bar. Beckoned outside by another stranger, he left his beer unfinished, went out into the dark and windy night, and never returned. The following day, locals found his disemboweled corpse on the moor. Who murdered him and why has always been a mystery. But a supernatural sequel to the tale presented itself on a January night at the end of the 19th century. According to the story, a strange man sat on the wall outside the inn at closing time. As the landlord took out his key and bade him farewell, the man stood up, raised his tankard, and ran past him into the bar. Rushing after him, the landlord saw a disemboweled figure glugging down a beer before vanishing into the smoky gloom. Since then, landlords and visitors at the inn have heard footsteps along the passage as the ghastly apparition returns to finish his ale. Outside the inn, the clatter of hooves and cart wheels are sometimes heard as phantom smugglers make their way to London with their booty. Really? It had to say that? According to legend, anyone hearing the rumble of iron wheels will be cursed with financial ruin. Inaccessible by land, Cornwall's hidden bays made it a favorite haunt of smugglers in the 18th century, as depicted in this engraving of 1793 by George Morland. Newstead Abbey in Nottingham, England. A black mass dubbed the Goblin Friar is thought to be a harbinger of doom at this historic abbey. Once the home of the romantic poet Lord Byron, picturesque Newstead Abbey nestles in rolling green parkland. Yet it harbors a dark secret. A ghost seen by Lord Byron and immortalized in his epic poem, Don Juan, is said to watch all visitors in his poem. Byron tells how a black shapeless mass would roll from the bed onto the floor and vanish. Although known as the Black Friar, Byron referred to the ghost as the Goblin Friar. In Don Juan, he claimed the apparition would appear to members of the Byron family before any unhappy event, and was seen shortly before his own disastrous marriage to Anne Milbank. The American writer Washington Irving brought more ghostly experiences to public attention when he stayed at Newstead at the end of the 19th century. He recounted the story of the ghost of a heavily bearded ancestor of Byron, descending from a painting above the drawing room fireplace. The apparition, he said, stalked the abbey at midnight, terrifying all who stayed there. Often reported wandering the gardens reading a book is the White Lady, the phantom of an orphaned deaf girl named Sophia Hyatt, who visited the abbey as one of Byron's greatest fans. Fanciful depiction of Byron, his daughter Ada, and dog in hand-colored line engraving of Newstead dating from 1836. Loftus Hall, County Wexford, Ireland. A lovesick ghost and her demon lover forever play hide-and-seek in this isolated Irish mansion. On the remote Hook Peninsula of country Wexford, and a solitary mansion stands starkly outlined against the skyline. Built at the end of the 19th century, it replaced an earlier hall occupied by the Todenham family. According to local legend, in the late 18th century, the daughter of the house, Anne Tottenham, had become infatuated with a young visitor to Loftus Hall. The stranger had been shipwrecked at sea during a storm. As they played cards one night, Anne bent down to pick a card from the floor and noticed the man had a cloven foot. She immediately fainted. The man disappeared through the roof in a blaze of fire. Afterward, she refused to eat or drink and sat gazing across to the sea, her knees tucked under her chin, hoping her stranger would return. When Anne died in 1775, she was buried in a sitting position, for it was impossible to straighten her legs without breaking them. Her death triggered poltergeist activity in the house, and various priests were summoned to perform exorcisms. It is still believed that Anne's ghost and that of her demon lover roam through the mansion's empty hallways, chasing each other in an endless game of hide-and-seek. In folklore, a cloven foot is associated with the devil, as in this engraving of 1879. Leap Castle, County Offaly, Ireland. Impaled corpses are believed to be the source of a terrifying force field in this somber Irish castle. Something terrible is thought to haunt Leap Castle. For centuries, the seat of bitter clan rivalries and vengeance, the menacing force is said to emanate from the A deep dungeon only accessible by a trap door. In the castle's early days, prisoners thrown into the oubliet were impaled on iron spikes. Yikes. Where they suffered a slow and agonizing death. Again, yikes. Big yikes. In the 15th century, clan member one-eyed Tadg is supposed to have drugged 40 members of a rival clan and then flung them one at a time into the dungeon of spikes. In the 20th century, workmen found the skeletal remains of 150 people in the oubliet. 150 people got sent to their death in the oubliet. The ghosts of the victims are said to have created a horrific, vengeful force field known as the Elemental. People who have experienced this mysterious energy say it brings a terrible sense of dread and fear. They also report an overwhelming urge to throw themselves into the dungeon as a sacrifice to the pit's victims, who long to rest in peace. Or in the case of the spikes, maybe in pieces. Bad joke. The so-called Bloody Chapel, in which the trapdoor to the oubliet is located. And it's pointing to a picture to make sense of what I'm saying. Yeah. Alright, that was more places, excuse me, from the National Geographic's Guide to the World's Supernatural Places by Sarah Bartlett. And we read more than two. I think the most interesting, well, maybe not interesting, probably most terrifying one would be the churchyard where Mr. Richard Cabell, his last name is Cabell, I know that, but that would be probably the most terrifying, if not interesting, place to see. This book makes me want to go see those places. That'll be my dream, to travel the world just to see these haunted places. Of course, with the necessary safety precautions, because, like, I don't want to bring anything back with me of the spiritual nature, you know? But yeah, that's all for today's episode. And I hope you guys have a great day, a great life, a great whatever. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next time. Bye!